Welcome to River Life Podcasts. We're a church family embracing the Father's presence, releasing empowered people to declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom. We trust that God would use what you hear today to bless and grow you so that you would be a blessing to those around you. For more information about River Life Baptist Church, go to riverlifechurch.org.au or find us on social media.
Well, last week was Easter Sunday. What a fantastic day we had. But I want to do something a little bit different this morning. Usually I'd be preaching a lot. I'm not going to preach a lot this morning. Someone in there said, amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to be teaching. You thought it was a time factor thing, yeah. But even so, I want to do even less teaching than I want to do praying this morning, to tell you the truth, because I want you to experience the power of God at work this morning. I love the words from Paul in 1 Corinthians, where he said, my message and my preaching were not just wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And that's what we want to see take place this morning. We've been praying into. And in particular, we're going to be talking about and praying on the back of last week, where Nick shared a powerful word with us that we have the Holy Spirit's power with us. It was Resurrection Sunday. And this morning, we want to talk about the resurrection power in healing. And so, like I said, we're going to do more praying than we are preaching today or teaching, and that's going to come at the end as well. But let's just for a moment just set our hearts and expectations in the right place, shall we? Let's pray together. God, we just ask you for a holy expectation to come on all of us who hear this teaching this morning. We ask you to give us an awareness of what you're doing in our midst, and we ask that your angels to come and superintend over us. Give us an open heaven here this morning. I ask that you would release the gifts of your Spirit upon us as we learn. I pray that those who would need healing would sovereignly be healed as we read your word about healing. Increase our faith, not just our knowledge, but that we would believe your word and act upon it and experience your power at work here this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Wow, it was a joy-filled celebration last week, as it should have been on Resurrection Sunday. Because in Romans 6, 4 and 5, I want to remind you of what the Apostle Paul told the people to Rome. And he said, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We have new life in Jesus. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. The death and the resurrection of Jesus. If you believe that Jesus Christ of the flesh died for the forgiveness of your sins, if you believe that he took the wrath of God and for the sins that you have committed, winning victory by the perfect divine sacrifice to satisfy the wrath of God, if you believe you're planted together in his death, meaning that your old sin-filled nature, which only sought rebellion, has been replaced with a new born-again spirit from God that seeks to please and serve him. If you believe that he was raised from the dead on the third day, conquered death and the grave, remained in the earth until the week of Pentecost, appeared to 500 people, ascended to heaven, and now sits at the right-hand side of the Father, ever interceding for us, we should be the happiest people alive if you believe that. Absolutely. We commemorate Jesus' death on Good Friday with somberness, but the resurrection calls for jubilation. It calls for this praise. It calls for this thanksgiving, this adoration to well up within us and to come out of us. All the blessing that comes our way through our Savior's cross are confirmed by the resurrection. It proved that the Father was satisfied with the Son's payment for our sins. And now we can know that our transgressions are forgiven. We're eternally secure. We're happy. We can rejoice. Because by God's grace, Jesus will give us the very same resurrection. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead that Pastor Nick talked about last week will raise you as well. Jesus promises that we too will be resurrected, that we'll be given these new bodies because he overcame the grave. All of his followers have the same kind of life he has, an eternal and indestructible life in Jesus. Such good news. We can celebrate. And it doesn't save it for Resurrection Sunday. I hope that all throughout the week there's been godly reminders in your life of every day where you've been able to celebrate the truth of what we entered into last weekend and celebrated corporately together. If you believe in Jesus, believe in the power of his resurrection, because that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is with us by his Holy Spirit. John 11, 25 to 26, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And this is the eternal hope we have. The steadfast assurance of God's eternal presence. As Christians at Easter, we celebrate because we've been forever transformed and changed this new life with unwavering faith. We trust what the Word of God says because Christ's power over the grave proves that he can and will fulfill every word in his Word. And if we trust the Bible, we've got to act on the promises of the Bible. That's what guides us every day. Actually trusting and enacting the truth that we find. I want to just, side note here, I could get into trouble with my notes. The truth is not just a concept. Truth is a person. I am the way, Jesus said, the truth and the life. Truth is not just a concept that we would understand. It's not just a set of beliefs in which we hold to. Truth is the person. Your truth is found in who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And so an enactment of obeying and believing in Jesus is to obey and believe in the truth. And he has come to save us. The Greek word there is sozo, saved, delivered, healed. Saved, delivered, and healed. To be made whole in Jesus. And he's done all that he can do, all that he needs to do to be able to make that happen. In John 14, Jesus is encouraging his disciples. This is the night in which he was going to be betrayed. And he's talking with them and he's spending this long extended period of time with them. And he's talking to them about how things are no longer going to be like they are right now. Things are going to change. They didn't get the idea. They didn't get the memo. But here he is trying to warn them, trying to tell them. And he says this in verses 1 through to 4 of John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. He knows that post what was going to happen during his death and his resurrection and subsequent days after until his ascension, that they're going to be troubled. Why? Because like a security blanket, they've hung on to every word Jesus has to say. He was their truth. Not such a bad place to be. You believed in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Of course, subsequent to this, you get Thomas saying, well, we don't really know the way. What are you talking about? Jesus is here again, giving them the message that we celebrated last week, that you can have eternal life. There is a place for you. There's a place for you. There's a place for you with God to share in all of eternity. Thank you, Jesus. What a great work that was done. But then he goes on to say, and don't be troubled, because even when I am not here with you, even when I've gone to prepare that place that one day you will join with me in the in-between, in the in-between, the ascension of Jesus and the life that we've lived as believers, as followers, as disciples of Jesus right now in this moment for us, as it has been for the generations that have gone before, and who knows how long until the generations to come when he will take us to be with him. But it says this, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth. Now, you're capturing the good news here that we talked about last week. This is now the power of Jesus at work in our lives. It's not us at work, it's him at work. He's not leaving us as orphans. He is with us. Holy Spirit lives in us so that we might do the same works as Jesus. Now, the only thing that you can't do, because you couldn't do it, even if you wanted to do it, is lay your life down for the sins of the world. Okay, if you have a Messiah complex coming in here this morning, sorry to burst your bubble. Okay, that's been done. He was the only perfect one, born of a virgin, Son of God, Son of Man, who came to take away the sins of the world. But he tells us in this passage, don't be worried, I'm going to be with you, so that you're going to be doing the works that I have been doing, and even greater works than I have done. Man, that's got to blow your mind. If that just didn't do something inside of your spirit at that moment, just pop a couple of fingers up here. Just check your pulse. Because we have retracted and we have brought our faith back to an understanding about beliefs instead of listening to the truth. Truth and beliefs aren't necessarily opposed, but we forgot that the truth is a person. And the person of Jesus, in the truth that he's telling us here, in who he is saying, you're going to do even greater things than me. How many of us woke up this morning, believe that it could be through us that the lame would walk, that the deaf would hear, that the blind would see, the dead would be raised? Well, I did, because I knew I'd be preaching this message. But we so often just narrow it down. This is mind-blowing. Anything in my name you ask it, anything, I'll do it. As long as it's going to glorify my Father. As long as it's in line with who I am and my kingdom's glorious purposes. Now, the sort of works that Jesus did while he was here, as you read through the Gospels, by far the majority of the works that he did were in healing. Now, science and medicine have come a long way in a couple of thousand years, but they still need for healing. Anyone prefer you wouldn't have to spend all that money at the doctors? Yeah. I'm not denouncing doctors. I think God's given us minds to try to understand the way in which he created things. And we're continually on that creative understanding of journey to go, God, what are you doing? How did you do that? How did you make this world? How does the rain happen? When do we know what's going to do? And we journey in understanding, and God gives us insight, wisdom, understanding, learnings. Nothing wrong with all of those things. But soon, our faith is not in the truth. It's not in Jesus. It becomes in other things we've replaced with truth principle. And some of us have believed more in other things than we have in the name of Jesus, for all sorts of things. Everywhere he went, though, Jesus healed the sick. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. When the man came to Jesus in Luke chapter 7, they said, John the Baptist sent us to ask you, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Like, Jesus, are you the Messiah? Are you going to be this Savior? Are you going to be this Deliverer? And at the very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, gave sight to many who were blind. And so he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who leprosy have cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Anything he left out from his mission statement was to release the prisoners, because poor John's in prison and he doesn't make it out. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. You know, when people have great need, they'll go to great lengths to receive help for that need. I can remember being in Borneo back in 2014, and we were there and we were ministering amongst a local village area, and villagers coming from everywhere around. And as they came into that place, there was a great need for healing. There was all sorts of things going on, and Pastor Tom got up and preached a passionate word, and then we shared some testimony of what God had done. People just started to come forward in understanding that Jesus could be their healer. Well, just me alone that night, I've still got the note in my phone. I saw a blind eye opened, 4 sciatic nerve back recovery issues, a lower back pain, 2 shoulder pains gone, so 1 leg lengthened. And this is all just in one night from me, let alone the rest of the team. Because Jesus was at work. When people come in faith and the power of God is at work through his people, just like he said it would be, you will be doing these works, greater works, in fact, than just me, because you're going to be understanding the power of Holy Spirit living within you, and you can all do this. You can all jump on board, because every Christian has been commissioned to heal. Jesus very clearly stated that we as believers are commissioned to heal the sick. In fact, he taught and he commanded his disciples to do so, and then he commanded that to pass on to all other believers. In Matthew 10, verse 8, he said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, drive out demons. Freely you have received, now freely give. You remember just a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Joe was talking about, and even last week in the transformation of the life of Peter, when Pastor Nick was preaching, and he talked about that gate beautiful. This is after Jesus' ascension, and they walk past the guy who had been cleansed. He says, silver and gold I don't have, but I'll give you what I do. Because Peter had understood this concept. Freely you have received, now freely give. None of us have earned the mercy of God. None of us have earned the grace of Jesus. It's been freely given. So freely give it. What is grace? God's empowering presence. His empowering presence in you to do the things that Jesus was doing, the works. Wow. That's a bit more exciting Christian life than just believing a set of pure doctrine, isn't it? That'd be better than just walking through life with no hope. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out. This is found in Mark chapter 6. Sent them out 2 by 2 and gave them authority over evil spirits. They went out and preached that the people should repent. They drove out many demons, anointed many sick people with oil, and healed them. Matthew 28, 19 to 20. This is the Great Commission. This is the command of God to go. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, in my upbringing, that's where that verse ended, because I thought that was the important part. Well, it continues on. It's not a full stop. There's a comma. And teaching them, Jesus says, Go teach them to obey, these disciples that you're going. And as you go proclaiming this good news, as you go making disciples, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you even to the very end of the age. What did he command them to do? Go back to the previous verse, Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, drive out demons, freely you've received, now freely give. This is so important because I think for too many Christians, we're known for what, not what we demonstrate, but what we profess. And I think that we've rallied around Christian celebrities and even evangelists. We've been looking for God's man of power for the hour with the healing or the word. The word declaring his gospel, his good news, isn't my job. It's our job, yeah? The word to be able to demonstrate it is not just my job or some evangelist who has, you know, something amazing going on and so we all rally around them and play. It's for you to be able to demonstrate the power of God. That's your job. Because Jesus said it. The truth said, hey, I am the way, the truth and the life. The truth that I'm telling you is that you will do these works and even greater. Go and do them. And as you go, declaring this good news, making disciples everywhere you go, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, don't forget to teach them everything I've obeyed you to do. Because sometimes we like to think, oh, there's the out. I'm not one of the apostles. Whew. Imagine the weight. But hang on. The Great Commission didn't stop with them. It says, as you go, make these disciples everywhere, of all nations, and teach them to do the same things that I've been teaching you how to do. Now, we're just the week after Easter and the work of Jesus and responding to understanding and knowing the work that was done at that cross. This is sometimes called the atonement. In Matthew 8:17 and 1 Peter 2:24, brings a clear healing, relational component to the healing, to the blood of the atonement of Jesus as prophesied in Isaiah 53. Surely, in Isaiah 53, it talks about, surely he took up our infirmities. The Hebrew word koli there is sickness, disease. It's from the noun form kala, which is to be sick or ill. Surely he took upon us our infirmities. He carried our sorrows. Now, when you think of sorrows, you think of sadness, right? The sorrows in a heart that could be true, but it's in the Hebrew word, makhov, the word there, means pain. Pain can be emotional, can be physical, yet we consider him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. In Matthew chapter 8, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him and drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, that he took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. Acts chapter 4. Then know this. You and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. How ironic that I'm preaching on healing. And my voice goes today of all days. That this man stands before you healed. Heal the sick. Tell them that you're here because the kingdom of God is near to you. Luke 10:9. Now, this is a mystery to me. Because I think healing is a mystery to us all. Because we're not the ones who do the healing. We're the ones who God uses to bring healing through us to other people. We're these means of God's grace. But it's His grace. It's His power at work. Now, I'm trying to make this as clear as possible for you, that the part that we pray, that everyday celebration of the resurrection and the power to walk in that resurrection power and be a part of what it is to have faith that God wants to deliver you and He wants to deliver on what He's paid for. He did not suffer on the cross and rise from the grave so that we could live a normal life bar a name tag we wear saying Christian. It's supposed to be evident in our life because of what happens through us. When the Holy Spirit is in you, it's for your benefit. It's for your salvation. It's for your healing. It's for your wholeness. He's there to guide you into truth. He's there to lead you, to give you peace. But when He is upon you, He moves through you for the benefit of others. He is in you for the benefit of yourself, and He moves upon you and through you for the benefit of others. And this is where other people start to see the works of God, of Jesus, done in and through you and I. The hard part is, excuse me, I've prayed for dozens of people. Well, let's change that. I've prayed for hundreds of people. And I've seen lots of them not healed. It seems to me that there's sometimes a greater anointing for healing. When we pray for healing, we know that not everyone will be healed. But that's not the starting point. We start with the knowledge, the belief, and the understanding, not believing the lie that God wants them to be sick. I just do not believe that at all. He can turn any bad situation into a good one. But he's not there to punish us, to bring us sickness. He's there to bring healing, wholeness. That's what He's paid for. And sometimes too many of us are offended when God doesn't heal. Whether He doesn't heal through us or He doesn't heal us. And we stop seeking healing. Or we stop praying for healing. And the enemy goes, I've just won again. How many of you have shared your faith with someone and they haven't come to salvation? Come on, let's be honest. Have you ever shared your faith with someone and they did not come to faith? Lots. Does it stop you going and giving the good news to the next person who needs it? No, it doesn't. Why do we get so offended? Because, you know, we understand that it's God at work to bring someone to salvation. Well, I've got news for you. It's God at work who brings healing to people. So don't get offended. It's not you. Just believe and keep praying. And we've got to get to the place where we're able to say, I don't know. But that's the work of God at work. I don't know. Don't know a lot of what He does. In the life of Jesus, sometimes there's a great anointing for healing. Luke chapter 5, one day Jesus was teaching, the Pharisees, teachers of the law, who'd come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there, and the power of God was present for Him to heal the sick. Even in the life of a follower like Paul, Acts chapter 19 verse 11, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, it says. But there's other times where it seems that there's not so much an anointing. Even in Jesus' ministry, Mark chapter 6, Jesus said to them, only in His hometown, among His relatives, and in His own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. Jeez, be all right, won't I? And was amazed at their lack of faith. This isn't meant to be an encouragement to pass judgment on someone when they're not healed. We don't tell people, you weren't healed because of your lack of faith. We don't turn around to the person praying for us and say, well, it's your lack of faith that I'm not healed. We don't do that. Our job is simply to press in, to ask. After all, Jesus prayed for dead people. I don't think they have a lot of faith. The most important thing is that people feel loved as you're praying for them. And my neighbor, he's a man of another faith. He does a lot of work around his house and gets this shoulder injury. Man, I've asked him 3 times, can I pray? Atula, can I pray for you? You know I'm a Christian, you know I serve Jesus, and he's done so much good things. He can heal. Can I pray for you? No, John, no thank you. What do you mean Jesus heals? I'm yet to pray for him by laying on hands. I just do the sneaky prayer, you know. Okay, Lord, just get him, pray a blessing on him. But I've been able to share my faith with him 3 times now out of simply asking if I can pray for his healing. Why? Because there's an open relationship of friendship there, of genuine care and love. That's the important thing that people leave with. Even in the ministry of Paul, it says, Erastus stayed at Corinth and I left Trophimus and sick in Miletus. And it's natural to want to ask why Paul, who did extraordinary miracles, had not only little anointing, but apparently no anointing for the healing of Trophimus and Miletus. Not everyone we pray for is healed. It's okay, we need to be able to say, I don't know why some are and others are not. But in the face of what feels like defeat, I'm just going to keep asking Jesus. Our motive always must be to honor the name of Jesus. Randy Clark says that we need to be humble Teflon Christians. Let the glory slide off and give it to Jesus. It's not about us, it's about him. So we need to walk in these ways as believers, in the power of God at work, in his resurrection power. A bold, radical faith step. To be at a place where we come to a place where we come believing that all that Jesus did is not in vain. But we could actually hang on these words of truth from truth himself and take it at face value that he wants to use us to do these works. So this morning, my prayer is the prayer out of Acts chapter 4, verse 30, where it says there that Peter prayed and he said, stretch out your healing hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And that's what we're going to pray for this morning. And a few of us have been just seeking the Lord and asking for a word of knowledge. Now, if you're new to River Life, you may not know what a word of knowledge is, so I'll just give you a quick rundown. That's when we pray and we believe that God has given us a sense that this has brought to our attention a particular need, a particular physical need in this case, in somebody's life, so we can pray into it. It's kind of like a sign to say, hey, God has your number. It's okay. He sees you today and he wants to bring healing into your life. It should boost your faith. And so we've been praying and some of these things are here. And so right now I'm just going to get our prayer ministry team. We're a bit light on pastoral team this weekend, but pastors come down the front, but also our prayer ministry team and just be ready to be able to pray with people. And we're just going to spend some time in prayer. Now, it's not if the word of knowledge is not called out, that doesn't mean you can't come forward for prayer, okay? That if you need prayer for anything, but particularly this morning for physical healing, then we want to be able to do that. We want to be able to pray with you. Pastor Grant, come on up. All right. Okay, pulled calf muscle. Was it right or left? Left. You had to do this then. Okay. Left pulled calf muscle. Brain fog, like just an ongoing fuzziness in the head. That hard to think clearly, hard to just, you know, just brain fog. Thyroid cancer. Blurred vision. Insomnia. Now, if this is for you as much at home, if you're watching online, as it is for here, you can reach out for one of our host team online or a pastor online to be able to pray for you as well. So if this is relating to you and you watch on YouTube, maybe jump over to the online church platform where you can engage in with our people there to be able to pray with you. The vestibular system, now that's in the inner ear. Because I had to go back because I got this vestibular. Wow, I can't remember what that is. It's in your ear. Inner ear problems, inner ear pain, tinnitus, anything to do with, what's the one where you get really dizzy? And vertigo, that type of thing. Okay, if that's you, I want to pray for you this morning. Now you can come and start to move straight away. These guys will just be here to start praying for you. Throat cancer. My voice has been bad this morning, but it's not throat cancer. And long COVID symptoms. Long COVID, you know, where people have. Now you can come up and pray with somebody else on behalf of somebody. Okay, so if they're not here with you, you've got a relative overseas or something like that, and these people are, you know, having troubles with long COVID or that type of thing, or any of these things we've called out, then we'd love to be able to just pray with you right now for that. So I'm about to pray for some of these things, but it's always good to come and be personally prayed for, hands laid on, and just be able to pray with you personally like that. But let's stand to our feet right now, and we're going to continue to just worship and be in this open place where you might come and receive prayer. Now, if it's too scary to walk out the front, you've just learnt that you all carry the power of Jesus. There's no more anointing because you've got a pastor as a title or a prayer team. It's just that we've taught these people how to pray in a way that's safe so you can feel safe coming to them. Okay? No one's going to push you over. No one's going to slap you or hit you. All right? No one's going to do anything crazy. That's why it's safe up here. We've trained people how to make it a safe environment. But if you feel safer with the person next to you and you know they're a believer of Jesus, say, I need prayer, lay a hand on me and pray for healing, please. That's what I need right now. And you, this morning, can pray for each other. If you're home on the couch together, you can be doing that and just reach out to pray healing over one another. Just start to minister in the power of God to one another around you, okay, right now. Jesus, would you come as we started this message? We asked that Holy Spirit, you would come and it would not be words that are persuasion. It wouldn't be through just understanding, but it would be a demonstration of your power at work. And so we're asking Holy Spirit that right now your power comes to bring healing over people, healing into their specific ailments that they carry within their body. Every spirit of affliction, I tell it to lift off right now in the name of Jesus. And just ask, Lord God, that you bring about your powerful work of healing into people's lives, into people's bodies right now. Bringing restoration, bringing freedom to them, Lord God, bringing wholeness to their bodies, that there would be this case of sozo to be saved, delivered, and healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, let's worship, but continue to minister to one another. If you need prayer, come down. We want to pray for you. If you just feel more safer with somebody right next to you, then do that. Just call out to them, reach out to them, and ask them to lay the hands on you, and we'll pray for you that way as well.
Thanks for listening to this River Life podcast. Make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with all the latest content. If this podcast has raised any questions for you, contact us via church@riverlifechurch.org.au or through Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.